This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Guiar. Today I'm speaking with Jennifer Tyner. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Good. Jennifer, how are you involved with digital asset management?
Well, I first became interested in digital asset management when I was in graduate school. And I took a cataloging class, and I was just really intrigued by it because our professor showed us an example. Of course, he used their real database they were using at the time in the museum where he worked. And he showed an example of a screen with an item, an object in their collection and how it was cataloged. And then he showed another screen where he had listed out the name of a provenance, a certain provenance, and the name of this provenance or company that had donated materials to that museum was written out at least 10 to 15 different ways. It was written sometimes as two words or three words, sometimes with hyphens, sometimes all as one word with no spaces, or a shortened word, or an acronym. So over the years, they had had multiple people entering this information, and it was never written the same way. So that was just one example of how messy cataloging can be. Mm-hmm. And it was also one of the things I worked on as an intern. I called it data cleanup. I primarily have a photography background before that. And I realized I wanted to work with pictures without being a photographer, which is why I went into the graduate program I went into. But what's funny is now with my current job, I work in the communications and marketing department, which is the Central Communications Office for Georgia Institute of Technology, also known as Georgia Tech for short. I do play part of a backup photographer from time to time when our staff photographer is unavailable. But most of the time, I do manage the digital photography database.
Why does a research university use digital asset management?
Well, at the university, why doesn't every university need it, actually? Everybody needs a digital asset management of some sort and should already have some type of SAM or storage and retrieval method in place, regardless of what type of content you're cataloging and storing. In our case, I work in the Central Communications Office of a large university, and what I work with is the Marketing Photography Database. And it is an online system. It's password protected for all of our users, and our users are people on campus. They're the people who work in other departments and academic units because everyone needs to have some type of marketing photography. They use the photographs on their websites. They use them in brochures and posters. They all try to promote their areas or promote the university in some way or another. Our photography collection really does have a wide range of audiences. They can be the students, faculty, staff, media from off campus, or prospective students, faculty and staff, and of course alumni and donors. And we have everything in our DAM from recruiting photography. For instance, they could be students walking around on campus or participating in activities on campus, or they could be in classrooms, in research labs. We also have annual events, special events, and also donor events cataloged in our database, but not so much sports photography, and I will get into that now. It's mainly because we have so many departments and units on campus that many of them have their own photo archives. They hire their own freelancers to take care of the photography needs. And it's really quite like a small city on our campus because it's so large. So they really should have all their own photographers because it's not possible for our one staff photographer to cover every single thing for every single department on our campus. And about our current digital asset management tool, it has been a wonderful an effective system for our campus users. It's been in place since the fall of 2009, and before that we did have another DAM tool, which I'll talk about later. But our current one is great. It's quick. You can browse using a category tree. You can use advanced word searches. This is far from what it was like before. So I guess you have to experience the bad to really appreciate the good. So it is a huge improvement from our previous system. And it's something, our previous system was in place when I began here in 2006. And on my first day, I was told by IT that there would be no more upgrades to that digital asset management system. And I panicked a little because I had heard about database migrations before. When I was in grad school, I had heard professors talk about it and other people in the field when we had guest speakers. They all did a lot of eye rolling and, oh yes, database migrations. And even one internship, I was working at a museum, and I worked in the photography services area of that museum. So I was in the database a lot. But actually, they had two databases. Why? Because they were migrating from one system to another, and it was taking longer than they expected, and they were still working from two systems. So I had to learn both systems. And that's when I learned, well, gosh, why isn't this a simple process? And I also heard from one of my professors, when he spoke to us about database migration, he said, I hope you will never have to experience this, but considering how young you all are, you're going to have to experience this at some point in your careers. And he was absolutely right. So when I first started here, I began doing the research on different digital asset management systems, and I was benchmarking with other universities. And when I called other universities, I spoke to what I thought were my counterparts at other universities. I heard, again, that migrations are far from easy, and I spoke to one campus who had migrated from scratch. They were working from disks and hard drives, and they moved everything from their hard drives onto the new system. And he said, no, we started from scratch, and it was not easy, because I thought that it might be. And then I spoke to another university who said they had migrated from an older system to a newer one, and they said, no, it was not easy. So I knew that no matter what, I would be up for a challenging and rewarding experience. And it has been very rewarding, because I also saw this as an opportunity to make some better changes to our system and the way that things had been cataloged before. Because I noticed in our older system, we had a lot of problems, the same problems that I mentioned earlier, with the provenance being listed out many different names. On our campus, as I'm sure on a lot of university campuses, there are many departments and academic units that all have acronyms. What I like to do is list out the full name of that department or the event. We have events and buildings that also have acronyms or nicknames. So that's like three things right there. I can list out the full name for that building or event or department, then the acronym, then the nickname if I know it. I can add those in the tags so that when people search for any of those things, those pictures will come up. Because with our older system, I would type in the school of XYZ, and that would be an acronym. And then I would see a few pictures there. Then I would type out the full name of that particular school or program. And sometimes I would see the same pictures and sometimes I wouldn't. So this database migration was a good time to develop some kind of consistency. So those small changes really do matter. And one way I fixed this was by converting some text fields to drop-down menus. Because in our old system, we had just open box text where you could just type in the information, and that's effective for descriptions, but for things like copyright information or photographer's name or so on, something like that that's going to be just about the same every time, it works best with a drop-down menu. So that way there's no mistake, you have the same thing every time. And now our collection is growing almost daily. The important thing is the changes that I made is I asked myself, how do I maintain the consistency? You know, I got this great new system to start with, and that was one of the changes I had made with the drop-down menus and the event names. We have certain events on campus that take place every single year, the same events. And one of them, of course, would be commencement and then homecoming. So what I would do is I go into the system every time before I catalog these pictures, and I look and see, how did I write that out last year? What tags and keywords did I use to identify those pictures last time and the year before that? So I try to stay consistent with keeping the same information or similar information for these same annual events that take place, because it wasn't like that before. There, I would search for something like homecoming, and I would see it's pictures from 2003 in one category, and then homecoming the following year in 2004 would be in a different category and written a little bit differently. And then keywords were in one set of photos that weren't in the other, and so on. And that's just one example. So I do try hard to maintain consistency. And you would think it would be easy with just one person doing the data entry, which would be me, but it's really not that easy. I realize how quickly it is to forget things like that. So that's why I double check my work and recheck it before I put it in the database. We recently began integrating videos into our collection because before it was simply photography. And now we've just put a few videos in. We're experimenting with it because our database is fancy enough that we can play videos in it. We can store them in there, download them from there. We only have a small sprinkling of videos in there. And so things that I'm working on now, things I'm asking myself now are how should these videos be described and cataloged? Should it be done the same way as the photography? But it all comes down to the end users. How will the end users want to search for these videos? Should I make a category tree and that has categories for B-roll footage or final edited pieces? Or should I have the category tree mimic the photography category tree? We have ours listed out by things like events and the different schools on campus and then student life and studying, that kind of thing. So these are all questions I'm asking myself now because I know that this video collection will continue to grow and grow just like the photography collection. And I'm all too familiar with how difficult it can be to turn around and do something different. Like, oh, we've already cataloged about 1,000 videos. Let's turn around and change the way this is being done. So that's not an easy thing to do, and no one wants to do that. So it is a really good idea to have a good plan in place before you begin. So you can get all those questions out of the way early on. And it's even more difficult sometimes to convince people you work with that it's not a quick fix. Getting a new fancy database is not like a magical feature that's going to make all your problems disappear. You do have to look at these things and ask yourself these questions and have a good plan in place before you just start dumping photography and video in.
Jennifer, what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
Well, the best advice I can give would be to be organized, be consistent, and this is the most important one, be patient. Mm-hmm. And that patience can apply to a lot of things. It can mean being patient with yourself, being patient with the people, being patient with your users who are using your system. And one thing I learned is that I initially never made it very clear how easy it would be for our users to actually use our database. And so when our new system launched, we created some training videos that we posted online just because the system was so different. It had a different interface, and it was a lot fancier than what we had in place before. So we had just had instructional videos showing people how they can go into the categories and do an advanced word search and, you know, creating a saved set of photos so they can come back to it later, or a saved cart, or how to search by date or even sort their search results, which we certainly did not have in our previous database, which is an excellent feature because since it's mostly photography in our system, it's great to be able to sort by creation date. And the creation date is the date that the camera documents, the moment the shutter snapped. So since everything is digital now, when you have an order by creation date, you're looking at the most current down to the oldest. And people want the most current when they're in PR.
Well, thanks, Jennifer.
Well, thank you for interviewing me.
No problem. For more on this and other digital asset management topics, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Another DAM podcast is available on Audioboo, iTunes, and the Tech Podcast Network. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.